Our Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon this time together. Lord, give us wisdom and fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Help us be faithful to you to bring glory and honor to you in all that we say or do. Help us again, Lord, to do your will. Give us courage to be faithful to you. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, let's open our Bibles to the wisdom of Sirach, chapter 30. I want to read a few verses here about raising children. Chapter 30 and verse 1, it says, "The man who loves his son will chastise him often, so he may rejoice in him in his latter years. He who disciplines his son will profit by him and boast of him among his acquaintances. The man who teaches his son will make his enemies jealous and will rejoice exceedingly over him among friends. When his father dies, it is as though he is not dead, for he left behind one like himself. While he lived, he saw and rejoiced in him, and when he died, he was not grieved. Before his enemies, he left behind an avenger, and to his friends, one who repays favor. He who spoils his son will bandage his wounds, and at every cry his heart will ache. A horse not broken turns out to be stubborn, and a son allowed to run wild turns out to be headstrong. Pamper a child, and he will frighten you. Play with him, and he will grieve you. Do not laugh with him, lest you suffer with him, and gnash your teeth over him at last. Do not give him authority while he is young. Bruise his ribs when he is young, lest he become stubborn and disobey you. Discipline your son and work with him, so he will not embarrass you with his behavior." This morning, I want just to talk about raising children and what our goal is for our children. And if you think about that, what is your goal for your child? And we can apply that not only for children, but also for ourselves. But I think the goal is that they grow up to be godly young men, godly young women. Children that our goal for them is that they truly can be said of them, they love God and they love their neighbor as themselves. And that the end goal is that we would train them that they would belong with God, that they would return to God, that when we die, that our souls, their souls, will fit with God, that they will go to be with God. There's a lot of talk about being saved and a lot of religious things, but the goal of our life is that when we stand before Christ, that He will claim us for our own, that He will claim us for His own, that we can be with Him, and that we can be a part of His kingdom. And that's the goal that we want for our children. This gives us some instructions here. It says, the man who loves his son will chastise him often. I always grew up hearing that the verse in Proverbs says, train up a child in the way it in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. And people would often say, well, I brought them up to church, and they know better, and so they'll return to it. After they've gone away, they've left, and they find comfort in that verse, well, I brought them up in church, and they'll return to it when they get old. That's not what that means. I've also heard that I spanked them, and so that means that then they didn't turn out right, and so now they wonder, well, what does that mean? Why didn't it work? I disciplined them, I spanked them, and that's not what it means. To train up a child or to chastise them is not just to beat them. Anyone can do that. You can. The worst parent in town, when they reach the level of anger, they will beat their children. That's not what it's about. To train a child in the way it should go is to train it. We've talked about this, is how you train something. Women train their hair. They put a hot iron and they curl it all up and they hold it there for a while. And then they let it go, and when it's trained, it stays curled up the way it was supposed to be because it was trained that way. And that's what we need to do with our children. Train them the way you want them to be. One thing we forget, we lose sight of, is we're not training them to be children. We're training them to be godly young men and women. So from the very beginning, get a hold of them and train them to be young adults. There's no need to train them to be children. Why would we want to train them to act like children? If you train them to act like children, when they get old, guess what? They're going to act like children when they get old. The way you train them is you train them the way you want them to be, just like you do anything else. When you train something, whenever you cut out boards, you cut them out a certain way so they'll fit together. That's training. You put it in place the way you want it. You fix it. You make it the way you want it. When you do a recipe, you're putting everything in a recipe the way you want it. You're training that recipe to turn out the way that it will. And you put the right ingredients in it, and you put it in, it will turn out the way it's supposed to. And that's what it means by training. Now, when you train someone, they still have a free will. They may choose not to follow the Lord, but the things that you've trained them in will still be there. They may discard some things and they may throw a few things away along the way, but a lot of the way they've been trained will stick with them. If you've taught them how to be respectful, and you've taught them how to work, and you've taught them how to make good decisions, those things will go with them. They might not always choose the right thing. They might not always choose. And they may try to throw away a lot of things. But that general mold that you've instilled upon them will still be a guide to their life. That's what it's talking about. Training them the way they should go. To discipline them. To chastise them. Doesn't mean just to beat them every time they get out of line. Most training of children is the failures is not the child's fault. It's the parent's fault for not being diligent. And that's who he's talking to here. Anytime you read in the Bible, it doesn't say, children, this is how you get trained. Children, you make sure you get trained properly. He doesn't talk to children when he's talking about child training. The Bible doesn't speak to children except for listen to your parents. But the manner or the way that you're trained, they don't tell the children how to do that. It's the parents' responsibility to do that. It's the parents' responsibility to know how to train children. Children are a lifetime investment. This is something, these verses that we read talk about, even after you die, you'll have someone to carry on what you've taught and how you've lived. This is more than a lifetime. We're talking about people who have souls that will live forever. So it's not something that we do just flippantly. It's something that what happens with how you do this is going to carry on for generations and generations and generations. It's going to go on. So it's something, that's what he's talking about here. The importance of it is that so he may rejoice in his later years. It's an investment in your children. And the more that you invest in them while they're young, and the better you invest in them while they're young, the better dividends you will receive when they're old. We talk about, or people talk about, investing in something. And they buy something that's valuable whenever they're young. They invest in a stock or something. And then when they're old, they can retire and live off of it. You can do the same thing with children. You invest your children, and whenever they're older, they've got something, you've instilled values in them that will pay you dividends. But you know, there's another side to that. If you don't do things properly, if you don't do things properly, if you don't invest that proper character into your children, you'll wind up paying for them all of your life. And someone else will wind up paying for what you've done all of your life. See, what we do today has it goes on, it's perpetual. I'm trying to invent a word there. I don't know what it was. It's what we do today goes on and on and on. It didn't just stop with us. What we do and how we live affects others. And that carries on. You know, we talk about passing on the torch of the faith. The faith is passed from faith to faith. And when the faith is dropped, the faith doesn't go on. It don't go on. Whenever, if the brethren in times past that were faithful, the martyrs that had the faith and they passed that seed of that faith on to someone else and brought that light to someone else is why we have it today. And many people that are in darkness today are there because someone didn't pass the faith along. Or they passed a corrupt version of it along. What he's trying to say here is what we do goes on and on and on. We only see today. We see the short-term consequences of what we do. But it will last, and it will last, and it will last. That's why it's important. That's why it's important that we take due diligence with what we're investing in our children today. He gives a little bit of instruction here. He who spoils his son will bandage his wounds, and at every cry his heart will ache. You know, I've talked about, we hear a lot about, and I've talked about it, just real nice mommies. Oh, the children just love them. There's always cookies, and every time they get a little boo-boo, they run to mommy, and they can just fix everything, and mommy is just so nice, and mommy is just so sweet. I know a lot of those mommies. One in particular, just a few years ago, had her son executed on death row. He died on death row because he murdered a policeman. But he had the best mommy. He had the best mommy. I heard him talk about her. The other son spent time in prison the same way. Murdered a man. But boy, he had a good mommy. He had a good mommy. That's exactly what this is talking about. Oh, her heart broke every time he had a little boo-boo. And she just coddled and pampered and took care of him. And just babied him. Oh, always had the best things for him and just pampered him. He had a good mommy. And while he was on death row, he thought of his good mommy. And how sweet he's my... Oh, he'd fight, he'd kill if anybody said anything against his mommy. But his mommy put him there. His mommy put him there. His nice, sweet old mommy sent him right to death row. Isn't that something to think about? God doesn't need a nice, sweet, old, dawdling old mommy or parents. God needs parents who are trying to train children into being parents, to being adults. Not just sweet old mommies. Not just old nice mommies. We need mean mommies. Mommies with some character that can see past the little emotional feeling that they have because Johnny's got a little BB or boo-boo or Johnny's got a little blood dripping from his finger. Mommies that have enough courage and enough patience and enough wisdom to see past that boo-boo isn't going to kill him. Now, there's times whenever there's parts laying around somewhere that, yeah, we need to get some action done here. That we need to take some action. But just to run them to the doctor, run them to a hospital or something, just because a drop of blood got on his shirt. You need to be bigger than that. You need to have more character than that. To where you can see past the emotional little buzz that you get, or this little feeling it talks about here about his heart ached because he had a boo-boo. You got to get past that if you want to train something with eternal values. You got to get past that. Sure, it hurts to see them hurting. But look past that little hurt and see what kind of hurt you're instilling and inflicting to their souls. Whenever your heart aches, that's all about you, not them. Look past yourself, not just at their little boo-boo. Because you know what? You start healing all their little boo-boos. They think the world revolves around them. And pretty soon, everything that anybody says hurts their feelings. And then everything is revolving around them. In religion, they can't take anything. The first sign of a little bit of problems, they blow right up. Because it's all about them. Discernment in parenting, instilling good things, deeper things than just the surface things. How many people have we seen just destroy themselves and their families because they saw something on the surface and ran with it? They hear a little rumor here, they hear something there, and they run with it. And they destroy themselves and their families. Because we can't have enough discernment to say, wait a minute, it's just a little bit of blood. Wait a minute, it's just a little boo-boo. Let's see what's really important here. Dust them off, pick them back up, swat them on the hind end and send them on their way. Don't be crying all, oh, poor Johnny, let me see that, oh, let me blow on it. All you're doing is preparing them to be reactionary to first little calamity that comes along. That's not what we're interested in. That's not what we don't want to jump at the first sight of every little thing that comes up. We don't want to hear the first little rumor and just react to it. That's the problem with most people in the world today. We read about the early church. They were able to tolerate people believing different in them because they weren't reactionary. They had some character to them. They had some deep, godly character that knew that everything you see at first glance isn't always just the way it is. Sometimes things go a little bit deeper. And so, if you step back and don't respond to the first reaction and you just look at things just a little bit, you can say, well, we don't know exactly what's going to happen here. Let's just back up a little bit. We see the riots and all these things that are going on around the world. People, wars come in. You know where they come from? It's people getting all stirred up and have to fix something immediately. Reacting foolishly to some word that's said. Reacting foolishly to something that happened. You did that? Oh yeah, I'm going to do this. You're going to do that? Okay, I'm going to... And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and boom, you got a war. And it started by a foolish reaction. Where did that foolish reaction come from? Probably because some mommy had a foolish reaction over a drop of blood or a scant knee. And that child just learned, instilled in their souls, that, oh, the whole world revolves around a reaction whenever I get hurt. And so I can just carry the same thing. You understand what he's saying here? What we're trying to see? What we're trying to say? Look past. Patience is where wisdom wins out. That's what wisdom is all about. Is an ability to look past the immediate thing that everyone else gets concerned and carried away with, and just step back, take a breath, and then make a wise decision on what you're supposed to be doing. Instead of just following your achy heart, don't do it. don't let it be your guide. If it's your guide, that's how people get carried away, following their achy little heart. Following their achy little heart. That's the lack of wisdom. That's throwing wisdom aside and responding to their achy little heart. We don't live by our feelings. We don't live by our emotions. We talk about that in young people so they don't get all carried away. They get Twitter-pated. They see the first little girl that smiles at them and the boy just goes starry-eyed and don't even think about nothing. We try to teach people against that, to look past all of that initial response, that initial thrill, that initial reaction. Look past that. Take a deep breath. Look around. Don't just race after all of that emotion. Don't just race after all of that, the way you feel. That's where all this new stuff, this political correctness comes from. We got to guard how everybody feels because they will react foolishly on their feelings. So now we have to go around on tiptoes because somebody, some little Johnny, will get all emotional if you say the wrong thing. And they'll run by their feelings and just take off. And so everybody's got to say, keep everything just so-so, because we don't want to offend anybody. Because we know that if we offend someone, they'll react to it and it'll cause a whole bunch of problems later down the road somewhere. It all comes from a little achy heart, following an emotion, following our feelings. It won't work. Training children is you being an adult, having enough wisdom to be the adult in the room. Any of you, anybody, can follow their emotions. That's what we have in the whole wide world. That's what's destroyed the whole wide world. A lack of mothers and a lack of fathers that can be the adult in the room. We go from one extreme to the other. We're either super nice or we're just blowing up. That won't work. Be the adult. Smooth it all out. Take a deep breath. Be a rock. Be a rock. Solid and steady. That's how you build a foundation to create children that are rocks, that are steady, something to pass on. The other gets tossed about in the wind and the waves, whatever happens. Be a rock. That's how you be a parent. Be someone reliable and steady. Yeah, they know where to come when they really need help. Not help. But let's look at that. Let's see what you got here. That's just one little thing with accidents. But if you carry that through in everything you do with raising your children, be a rock. This message is to parents, to be a rock. You need to be the parents of your children, the nurturers of a soul that's going to live forever. Just learn how to take care of something. That's why it's good. Children have animals or responsibilities. They need to learn from a very old, not great power, but just something they have to be responsible for. Something they need to take care of themselves that could die if they don't take care of it. Little animals, little plants, little anything that if you don't water it every day and it dies, they caused that death. That teaches responsibility to them. Boys, learn how to train a dog. Practice putting your attention into something and training it the way it should go. With the thought in mind of, I'm going to have to be responsible for a living soul. A soul that is going to live forever. That you're going to have to pay attention to. That's one of the biggest things. It takes some effort. And it takes some time. These verses talked about putting effort out into our children. We come to church, we get in our little adult pile, and the children just go by themselves. They don't need to do that. Until you know that they're going to be able to act responsibly. And usually when they learn how to act responsibly, they want to be over listening to the adults talk. When they're free to go wherever they want, when they're responsible enough, they're going to be wanting to be around responsible enough people. It's all right to have a little bit of fellowship among their own age, but the little children just doing wherever they want, running whatever they want, they don't need that. They need to learn. They need to be. You need to learn. They need to be where you can see what they're doing and keep an eye on them. Just letting them run loose. What's this verse say? Makes them stubborn. Makes them feel independent. Makes them rebellious. Is that what you want for your children? Well, if that's what you want, just let them do whatever they want to, anytime they want to. Let them run with all the rest of them. Let them think they're independent. Let them think they're big people whenever they're little people. That's how to raise stubborn children. That's how to raise little rebels. It's going to take some effort to raise godly children. It's going to take some effort to teach young children to honor and respect older people. To honor their parents. You know, people are so afraid of giving honor to someone. They're afraid that if they honor someone, that other person's going to get all puffed up, so I'm not going to give them honor. You know who that puffs up? The one not given the honor. You see, respecting an elder is not about the elder. It's about the person given the respect. That's who it helps. Whenever you say yes, sir, to someone, it doesn't mean you're exalting that person. It means you're bringing yourself to respect someone above you. It's all about you. So many people think that if they respect someone, they're going to get all exalted and get puffed up. I'm not going to give them any respect. And they get puffed up and exalted themselves. That's exactly what it does. We're not all equal. I appreciate whenever I see someone that just respects people that are older than them. There used to be respect for old men and old women. There isn't hardly anymore. We're all just, I'm 12 years old, I'm your equal. Get out of my way, I'm as smart as you are. all the education, people get all puffed up. They come home and they think they're smart, and their old parents and their old grandparents are dumb because they don't know what I know. It's probably the most damaging thing that's ever happened to people, is all this knowledge. And when it comes, and then they disgrace, they dishonor who they ought to honor. I appreciate whenever I hear older or younger people give a little bit of title or some kind of respect to an older person. Uncle or brother to someone that's older than you. You're not their equal, just to be bandishing their name like there's an old school chum. Not for their sake, but for yours. For yours. Respecting, looking out there ahead of you and respecting someone that's older than you. Well, they don't deserve respect. They're not. It doesn't matter. It's not about them. It's about you. It's about you respecting your elders. We ought to instill that in our children. That when someone else comes along and gets after one of our children, they listen because someone got after them. I remember my dad and I went to a public school. And I know a bunch of the teachers there were a bunch of knucklehead, just dingbat girls, just not any worthy of respect at all, hardly, some of them. Had some foolish ideas. But when I went to school, if I got in trouble at school, I got in trouble at home. It didn't matter who they were. I was under their authority. And if I got in trouble with them, I got in trouble when I got home too. Whatever I got in school, I got double at home. That's a good thing. If someone else has to scold your children, that's not their fault. That's yours. And if your child gets all upset because some other parent scolded your child, shame on you. Double shame on you. One, for them getting in trouble. Another, for them not respecting some elder that had to scold them for getting out of line. We get all of, oh, how dare you say something to my Johnny? Well, you just as well be in the PTA at the local school system. Go down and jump on the principal and the school board. Try to get a teacher fired for scolding your teacher or scolding your little Johnny. You just as well, because that's exactly what they do. Instilling values in your children. So what? They might be wronged. Isn't that what we're trying to teach them? To turn the other cheek? So what? They got scolded, maybe even severely, by some other parent. Is that going to hurt them? Or does that cause your heartache because they got scolded? You better get over it. You better get over it. Because you're not helping them. Not helping them one bit. You just well load them up, take them and enroll them in the public school system, and hope that they can get a college education. If that's what you're doing. Because there's no difference. We're trying to train our children to love God with our whole heart and to love their neighbor as herself. And you know, they're going to get wronged in life. They're going to have boo-boos in life. And if they're going to expect the world to stop every time something like that happens, you just as well set them down in front of a TV and enroll them in public school. Because you failed. They may be religious. They may be able to look down their nose with the best of them in religion. But you failed. You got to be able to take some stuff. We live in an easy world. They're going to have to learn to take some stuff. And if they can't take the little hurts and the little abuses and the little boo-boos that they get, how in the world would they ever take a persecution? How in the world would they ever be able to face a tribunal where they're condemned just because they're trying to follow Jesus? How in the world are they going to face getting their head cut off or being burned at the stake if they can't even take the first little abuse by a parent, somebody else scolding them? If they can't take those things, they won't take anything bigger. It's the little things that build character. It's the little things that build someone into someone who can be a disciple. That can be a martyr if need be. Because they learned it. They learned those characteristics from when they was little. Mothers, pay attention. Your children are trying to get away with murder with you, and they know how to manipulate you. They know. They're trying to get away with murder, and just like the example that I gave you, when the children learn how to get away with murder with their mother, that's just might be how they grow up. It might just end that way. You be the adult in the room. You be the adult in the room with your children. That's what it takes. You're building souls, or you're destroying souls. And when you see their little cute face and their little tears and their little, "Oh, please, Mommy," and you let them get away with it, you're not being a nice mommy. You're creating a devil. You're not being a nice mommy. You're creating a devil that will burn in hell . You're not being a nice mommy. Look past your achy little heart at their souls. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, we thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. We just pray that you would help us, Father, to see the importance of the souls that have been given, the blessings that can be produced by these souls, or the curses, and how it's in the hands of parents. God, we just thank you again for your goodness. Help us be faithful to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.